Structures. Before you purchase a property, you will probably need to set up structures. If you already have structures, they will probably need to be reviewed. By now, you should be well versed in the fact that you need to protect the assets you are building up. If you already have existing properties that are not protected, you need to go through the options to add some layer of protection to these properties first. Existing property strategies. Transferring existing properties into trust structures will be expensive. It will cost you stamp duty and probably capital gains tax. When it comes to existing properties, there are a number of things you can do which will add some level of protection. These are listed below in order of least protected through to most protected. Insurance. Clearly, having all your assets adequately insured is a must. Make sure you remember all the things we spoke about at the Ultimate Boot Camp and check to make sure you have your insurances set up properly. Your strategist will refer you to someone to review all your insurances. Double check things like uninvited guests, public liability, pet insurance, home workers' compensation insurance, landlord insurance, etc. Debt. Simply having debt on your properties is a form of deterrent from litigation. There are two forms of debt. One, internal debt. This is debt you have with one of your other structures, such as your bucket company or your piggy bank trust. This type of debt is very advantageous and should be encouraged wherever possible. However, you just can't go off and whack mortgages and caveats on your properties willy-nilly. There has to be an actual money cash transfer to justify these liens on the property. This is why every time you have an opportunity, move a significant amount of money. When you buy or sell a house, you have an opportunity to create internal debt, which further assists in protecting properties held in your own name and even adds another layer of protection to trust assets. Second, external debt. This is real debt that you have with financial institutions. Clearly, this debt needs to be not cross-securitized. And if you are in a cross-securitized scenario, then one of your first moves is to get uncross-securitized. Your finance strategist will help you with this. External debt can also be an illusion of protection. If someone is looking to sue you, the first thing they do is conduct a search on your properties. If you have a registered mortgage with a bank, and even better, a second registered mortgage with one of your own structures, internal debt, then the question is asked, are you worth suing? Typically, a lawyer will say, just put $10,000 or $20,000 in my trust account and we will make some more investigations. Well, in most instances, this is enough to deter litigation. As mentioned earlier, having caveats and mortgage placed on your properties needs to be done for a reason. There is a bit of talk in the industry about irrevocable mortgages and vestie trusts. The concern is that most of these documents are placed on properties without reason or money flow and therefore would not hold water if challenged. Contracts of will. These documents have been around for quite a long time and basically document and secure via a mortgage or caveat a signed contract or promissory note that you have with your own last will and testament. A full outline of contracts of will can be studied in the Ultimate Home Study Guide and on the first DVD of the bootcamp recording. New purchases. All new purchases need to be structured in company trust structures if they are investment properties. Only PPR properties should ever be in your own names, as these are the only properties that are going to be capital gains tax free, and even then in some circumstances structures will be used. This is the time to now have that appointment with your accountant or asset protection specialist. Invest accounting network details are available on the website in the contacts section to assist you in this area. You should always have a spare structure sitting there ready for your next purchase, as in most states, the exception is Victoria, you need to have your structure in place prior to signing a contract on the property. Insurance. The key areas to consider when it comes to insurance are personal insurances and asset insurance. Let's look at your requirements for each. Personal insurances. There are three main personal insurances to consider here. Life, trauma, total and permanent disability. When thinking about insurances, it is always a trade-off between how much would I like and how much can I afford? My suggestion is to have an insurance review, as they will do a needs analysis on you, taking into account your age, your dependents, your financial situation, etc. Asset insurance. Let's look at the varying property insurances and a few pointers on each. Building insurance. Make sure all building and equipment insurances are insured to at least replacement value. Remember the stories you have been told about what happens when you are underinsured? You simply won't be paid what you are insured for. Any payout will be significantly reduced by the amount you are underinsured. Contents insurance. Make sure your contents are insured for use external to the home for third party and third party property. Even on vacant property, it is recommended to take out a $10,000 contents insurance policy to cover all the soft furnishing which are not covered by your building insurance. Public liability insurance. Make sure your public liability insurance covers uninvited guests. Remember the stories about the burglar. Home workers' compensation insurance. If you have anyone working for you on a semi-regular basis, you need to have home workers' compensation insurance to cover any accidents or injury on your work home premises. Auto insurance, business or key man insurance. The list goes on and on. However, these are the main areas right now that you need to review and make sure what you have is adequate, and if it isn't, fix it. Finance. How much can you borrow? The first thing you need to know is how much you are able to borrow. Unfortunately, the banks have the money and therefore they make the rules about what you are able to borrow. Your job is to understand how best you can fit into their very restrictive boxes. The three main components banks and financial institutions use to assess you are character, capacity, and collateral. When it comes to character, if you have any marks on your credit file, please discuss this with your financial strategist and they will advise you what can be done, if anything, to correct or minimise the effects of bad credit. At a very minimum, everyone should request their own credit report. This can be done through VIDA. Simply go to www.mycreditfile.com.au. If you want the report emailed to you, it comes at a nominal cost, or if you are prepared to be patient and have the report sent out to you, this is free of charge. It is important to know what is on your credit report, so you know what you are dealing with, warts and all. While you are there, you may as well set up an alert so that if anything goes on your credit file, you are notified immediately. This does come at a small cost, but is well worth it. When it comes to capacity, your capacity is determined by how much you earn and how much debt you already have. This is something the finance strategist will assist you with in your first meeting. Your capacity or serviceability will vary somewhat from one institution to another, but the strategist will guide you through that maze when you have your own wealth check. When it comes to collateral, this is how much you have in available equity in your existing property or properties, or cash, savings, or liquid assets such as shares, etc., that could be used as deposits, costs, and strategy funding for your next investment. There is a difference between equity in your property and available equity. Remember, the bank likes to always maintain a comfortable equity margin in your property, so unless your incomes are very strong, your lending ratio will probably be around the 80% mark. This means your available equity is how much extra you can borrow up to the 80% LVR, loan to valuation ratio. Attached in the appendix is a document that will need to be completed as your first step to having a financial plan completed. Your financial plan will be created for you in collaboration with you on your goals, current financial position, and your individual needs and wants. In order to streamline this process, your next step is to get your finances in order. Start collating your finances together to make it easier to complete the wealth check. These are the documents you need to put together. Make sure these documents cover the whole family and any associated entities. Properties. Estimated current values of existing properties, at least two agent opinions on what they could sell them for. Current rental statements and current loan statements. Other loans. Personal loan statements, credit card, store card statements, private loans, car loan statements, leases, hire purchase, etc. Taxation. Last 2 years' tax returns for all individuals and structures. Flow chart of interrelated structures, for example, who owns what properties, who are the directors, shareholders, appointers of trusts, etc. Income. Evidence of income, for example, pay slips, tax returns for self-employed, share dividend statements, bank statements of savings or term deposits. Insurance. Current insurance policies, including any existing income protection and life insurance, trauma, disability, property insurances, building contents, public liability, landlord, pet insurance, etc. Pull out all policies and have them ready for your wealth check. Wills and enduring powers of attorney. Drag out the old will if you have one, as it will probably need a review. Health directive if you have one. Superannuation, all policies you currently have and the last 2 years' statements. Other assets, make a list of other assets of significance that may be either able to be sold to use as deposits or that need to be taken into account for insurance and risk management. Anything else of value your strategist financial planner should know about. Money management. Good money management is essential for financial success. One does not happen without the other. It is essential for you to clear up your act on all levels. If you have been used to a messy work environment or a messy office or a messy accounting system, then it is now time to make a change. If you are organized in your finances, your life will also be organized, and so too will your results. Let's face it, that is what we are all after, and if all it took was for you to clean up your act, would you do it? Well, it is at least a big part of your ultimate results success. Let's separate our financial management and personal management. Both are important and both need to be treated with equal respect. Personal management. There are two very good feng shui sayings. Clutter is anything unfinished, unused, unresolved, or disorganized. When you clear your clutter, you make space for new things, new energies, and creativity will increase. And clutter is just delayed decisions. This is true at so many levels and can often be the thing that is stopping you actually getting out there and doing a deal that makes you money. So what are some things that you can do to start the money flow? Workspace. A good place to start is your place of work. Get organized and clean up your workspace. Start with the desk, it's normally the easiest. Then move on to the room generally. You may need to buy a few things like bookshelves, filing cabinets, storage boxes, or you may get really high tech and buy a terabyte or two hard drive or external drive or cloud-based system of backup and turn your whole office into a paperless office by scanning and photographing everything. This is probably the way everything is going, but many are not there yet. The ATO is happy with this approach. However, a word of caution, do not allow this to be a 3-month marathon effort that becomes your comfort place of procrastination. Time management. If you find yourself constantly saying, I don't have time for this or that, you need to make a change and create time for what is important. We all have 24 hours in a day. The difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person is how they allocate their time. If you are having trouble reallocating your time, you need to do a time tracker. This is probably the most painful thing you will do. For a whole month, write down every 15 minutes what you spend your time on. You will very quickly see patterns of time wasting, and then it becomes a choice. If you see that particular usage of time as serving your highest good, that's fine, but if not, change it. It's that simple. In the appendix, a basic template for a time tracker has been included if you want to use it, or you can create your own. Using a diary. In order to be organized and maximize your use of time, you need to have a system to record key dates, events, meets, and your own tasks. That is the purpose of keeping a diary. And yes, this sounds very basic, and it is. You just need to do it. The form your diary takes can be personal. It can be a hard copy diary or notebook or an app or calendar on your phone. The important thing is that it needs to be mobile and it needs to be with you. You don't want to be booking in a meeting with your town planner only to realise you don't have your diary and end up double booking them and need to ring back and reschedule. You need to be organised to be professional. Your diary also helps to keep you accountable to your tasks for the day and what you need to achieve. Take notes. At every meeting, every phone call, every thought or idea, write it down. Regardless of whether that is in a notebook form or electronic form, your thoughts and ideas and information are valuable and need to be recorded. There have been numerous studies over the years that prove writing things down aids the retention process and the knowing. Notice the word knowing was used, not learning. You will be more equipped to recall the information as and when needed. Let's look at an example. You are having a meeting with a town planner and you are talking about block sizes and zoning requirements for different areas. Unless you have some way of recording that information, much of what they say will be lost. If note-taking is not your thing, or you think other ways of storing the information are more efficient, that's fine. Voice recording on your phone as a memo means you can go back and listen to the conversations again. Many find the very best way is to use either SoundNote or Evernote, which are apps you can use on phones or tablets where you record the conversation and can take notes as well. This means if you just want to listen to the part where the planner spoke about block size, you simply click on your notes where you said block size, and the recording will automatically jump to that section of the conversation and start playing from there. Fabulous tool. Just remember that if you are intending to record a conversation, always ask for permission first. Note-taking is decluttering for your brain. A great idea is to review your notes after each meeting or phone conversation and fill in the blanks. Fill in the information you didn't quite get down or make additional notes to explain your scribble. The aim is for these notes to be a reference that you can come back to in the future, so make sure you have everything captured. Using our town planner example, you may not go ahead immediately with a deal in that area, so you want your notes to be legible, detailed, and self-explanatory so that you can come back to them at a later stage and not have to reinvent the wheel and start all your research from scratch. Of course, the ultimate would be to scan your handwritten notes and electronically file them for the future. Make a list. So now that we understand that writing things down declutters the brain, the next step is to organise that information, and making lists is a great tool. By making a list of what you need to do, what you need to buy, who you need to speak to, you will be organised. It will prevent things from being forgotten, and it will form a basis from which to add. A list is never static. Daily, weekly, and monthly task lists also help to keep you accountable. They form the basis for you to track your progress, to identify the tasks you have not completed, and ensure they make it to the top of the list for the next day, week, or month. The other aspect of making a list is to prepare you for your meetings, your phone calls, your conversations with others. By thinking in advance of the questions you want to ask and the information you want to gather, the more prepared you will be, and the more effective you will be with your time and the other person's time. Continuing on with our town planner example, list the questions that you want to ask, for example, the zoning, the minimum land size, the frontage, etc. Create yourself a template to record that information in your meeting, a sort of fill-in-the-blanks worksheet. Remember that making your lists and taking your notes in the one notebook is the ultimate for keeping your records together and keeping organised. If you need to use loose paper, ensure you have a system for keeping them together. Update your skills if needed. If there are aspects of your skill set that you know are not quite up to speed, then you need to take responsibility and get yourself skilled up in that area. Maybe you are not comfortable with computers and know you need support in that area, and that is fine, as we are all coming from different backgrounds, experiences, and skill sets. But don't let that hinder your progress. Don't let that become an excuse. Take control and do something about it. It might be as simple as doing a day course on using computers or using spreadsheets or bookkeeping. 7 daily rituals. Balance in life is very important. The 7 daily rituals are a great way to maintain that balance. If you make a conscious effort to focus on key areas of your life every day, then you find your habits change and your attitude around everything you do also changes. The areas chosen to focus on a daily basis are available in an app format. The app is free and it is highly recommended that you download it and start using it every day. If you don't want to use the app, get yourself a notebook especially to record your 7 daily rituals. The 7 key areas to focus on are health, wealth, education, family and relationships, spirituality, gratitude and fun. Don't forget the last one. This journey is meant to be fun. Financial management. Record keeping and filing systems. Being organised with your documents, your processes and information is critical to being efficient and organised. There are many accounting and bookkeeping systems that make record keeping easy. Basically, as an investor, a simple filing system combined with an asset register is good enough. As someone in the business of real estate, which means you are now doing active investing, such as subdivisions, buildings, etc., then you will need an accounting system to record income and expenses. These range from the simple Excel spreadsheet to accounting software such as MYOB, QuickBooks, Xero, etc. Most accountants these days prefer Xero for the non-accountant type, as it is cloud-based and your accountant can get online and view your records as needed, and it automatically updates from your bank statements. Keeping spreadsheet records of your bank accounts and loans is important for being able to access information quickly. Keeping your information up to date and in one place and for being able to provide this information to others, including your mortgage broker, on a timely basis. While this may seem less important when you only have one property and one loan, it becomes critical as you build your portfolio and your accounts and loans increase. You need to get in place systems now that you can build on in the future as you progress. So the types of information that you want to record and continually update include the bank the loan is with, account numbers, loan limit, security property, terms of the loan, for example, 30-year interest only or principal and interest, duration of the interest only period and the expiry date, fixed or variable interest, the interest rate and monthly interest repayments, and a notes section on who got you the loan, date, LVR, etc. Similarly, a spreadsheet record of your insurance policies is also important, documenting the policy number, the type of policy, the cover. This information should be kept in your asset register for each property, as well as a digital and hard copy printout in the filing cabinet. If you don't have one, you can get one from my personal website, www.dimpnaboholt.com. And make sure you back up everything regularly. I've been caught out before. Saving? If not, why not? This might seem harsh, but if you are not in a net saving position, you are doing something wrong. Your income needs to be greater than your expenses at all times. And if you want to get ahead, you need to have excess funds over and above your expenses. If this is not the case for you, or even if you want to see how you can save more, I suggest you do a money tracker. Whenever anything is out of balance, a tracking system is the best way to see what is not working and highlight what you need to do to rectify the situation. To this end, there is a money tracker template in the appendix for you to copy and amend as necessary. What are your income sources? Can they be increased? Following on from the bigger question of net savings, you should also look individually at how you can increase your income and how you can decrease your expenses. Everyone can benefit from a review of this on a regular basis. Here are a few suggestions that you might like to consider. Check that all properties are rented at market value. Do you have unused areas of your home that could be used for income production? For example, garage for storage, driveway for parking space in built-up areas, spare bedrooms rented on Airbnb or rented out by the room. What are your expenses and can you reduce them? I think most of us could cut unnecessary expenses if we really focused on our budgets. When things are doing okay, the tendency is that we get slack on expenses, and unless we have a focused approach to review our expenses on a regular basis, they can easily get out of hand. A few things you may need to look at include having more efficient insurances, reducing credit card balances to save on interest. Sometimes this interest is as high as 24%. Revisit mobile phone plans. Cancel unused memberships like subscriptions and gym memberships. Clear out unused storage sheds. By no means is this a complete list. It is actually as long as your imagination. What can you liquidate that you don't use? Most people have unused or at least underused items around the house that could be sold and the funds used for a better purpose. Most people have unused or at least underused items around the house that could be sold and the funds used for a better purpose. For example, funding a property purchase. When analysing what assets you may have accumulated over the years that you really don't use that often, ask yourself these questions. When was the last time you used that asset? Assets such as boats, caravans, holiday homes, bikes, second or third cars, etc. How long did you use it for? And how much would it have cost you to hire that item if you didn't own it? If you are really honest with yourself, you will find there are lots of things you have accumulated over the years that really could be liquidated for a greater and higher purpose. Do a flow chart of structures and a spreadsheet of bank accounts, insurances, loan accounts, leases, etc. An up-to-date copy of a flow chart of your structures and how they relate to each other and the assets that are owned by each structure is a document that should be kept up to date at all times. It's a good idea to keep a copy of this document with your accountant and in an easy-to-find location in your filing cabinet. Along with this document should be a spreadsheet of your bank accounts, insurance policies, assets and loan accounts, leases, etc. Many prefer to keep this copy as a hard copy in a safe. Maybe that's just their personal unfounded concern for computer hacking, or maybe it's just being old-fashioned. Existing property. The next step in getting market ready is assessing your existing property portfolio. Many people have already filled their portfolios with what could be called nothing properties because they are just another property. Typically, they have been bought as house and land packages from the marketers and they have no discernible upside other than to sit back and wait for the market to move. Usually, they are negatively geared and could be affecting serviceability and therefore inhibiting future investments. Sometimes the property that is actually holding you back is your PPR, your principal place of residence, because the mortgage is eating up all of your serviceability. This is usually a tougher pill to swallow than if it is an investment property that is hurting. For some, their next deal is already in their portfolio, and they should concentrate on maximising their existing properties first before starting to look for the next deal. But how do you tell which ones in your existing portfolio are nothing properties? Well, there are a few calculations you need to do to work out how your existing properties are actually performing, taking into account both income and growth. The first of these is to do a return on equity analysis. What this calculation does is it shows you how much return you are getting on the equity you have tied up in each of your properties. The spreadsheet below is available in printed form in the appendix for you to analyse your own portfolio. When making estimates of growth, remember this is basically a best guess, as no one can ever accurately estimate what a property will grow to in the future. A good guide will be to look at what rate the area has previously grown at over a long period of time. The other question you need to ask yourself is if any of the properties are holding you back from a serviceability perspective. Even though one particular property might have good expected growth, and as a result the return on equity may look quite good, if the negative cash flow is affecting your serviceability to do other things, then the property may still have to go. This is something you need to discuss with your strategist, and they will assist you in the decision-making process. When you start analysing existing properties, you also need to make sure they are operating at an optimum level of efficiency, just like a well-oiled machine. Here are a few things you need to consider. Rent. Are all your existing properties at market rental? Jump on realestate.com and check the rental rates of similar properties in the area where your properties are located. Can the property be rented as a dual occupancy? Is it legal to do so in your council, and would it actually bring in more rent? Is it possible to increase the rent if services such as pay TV or internet or pool or garden maintenance were added, or would the property rent for more if it was furnished? If you were to do a renovation on the property, would it rent for more, and how much more would it value at? This is where you need to do a cost-benefit analysis. If you spend $20,000 and the property only goes up by $20,000, then on a growth calculation, it's not worth it. But if the property goes up in rent by, say, $50 per week, that is $2,500 per year, which is a return on investment on the $20,000 of 12.5%, which is not a bad return on investment, but nothing to write home to mum about. Is there any manufactured growth strategy you could do on the property? And if so, what does the feasibility say? How much money would the strategy cost, and what return, both in income and growth, would you get on the expense? The bottom line is that if your existing properties are stopping you from being able to move forward, then they have to go. Be guided by your strategist and ask them, if I sell this property or that property, what would be my capacity moving forward? Wills and estate planning. This is the topic no one likes to talk about, but everyone has to. The truth is, we will all die one day, and as a result, we will need a will. The last thing you want is the government or court system deciding on how your assets will be distributed. Apart from being very inefficient, this process is time-consuming, costly, and may not be in alignment with what you want. Rather than rabbit on about how important a will and an enduring power of attorney and health directive, etc. are, there are a few questions for you to consider. Answer them truthfully and take the appropriate action. Do you have a will? If not, call your lawyer or Derek at Pacific Law now and make an appointment. Before your appointment, make a list of assets. Who owns them, for example, trust or individuals, etc. What insurances you have and how you want them to be distributed upon your death. Do you know where it is? If you do have a will, get it out and read it and see if it is still adequate. Laws change, and if it is more than 5 years old, make an appointment to refresh it. Is it up to date? Have your circumstances changed since your will was created? For example, name change, had more children, lost members of the family, divorced, bought more property, set up new trust or company structure? If so, have it refreshed. Do you have a copy held with your solicitor and you or both? Does your will account for your new structures? Is it tax effective? Your will really needs to be considered in conjunction with your accountant to make sure you are not setting your family up for big tax liabilities. Do you have an enduring power of attorney? This document kicks into gear when you are incapacitated and unable to act on your own behalf. Really important when illness renders you incapacitated, like my father, who had a stroke and wasn't able to communicate for 4 years. Have one drawn up when you get your will done or updated. Do you need a temporary power of attorney for short-term incapacities such as travel overseas or illnesses? Have you thought about a health directive and what you want done in the case of an accident or illness? Have you made your intentions known about organ donation? Do you want to be buried or cremated? What do you want done with your ashes? This is by no means an exclusive list, but it is a start and certainly food for thought. Action summary. Make a list of actions required and prioritize in order of importance. Break down the tasks into small bit-sized chunks and allocate these tasks over a 4-week period. Again, this process should not be a marathon effort that takes up more than a month. So from what we have gone through so far, what action is required by you on the following topics? Structures. Insurance. Finance. Taxation. Existing properties. Managing money. Wills and estate planning.